Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Texas Private School Podcast. As always, I'm one third of your hosting crew, Wes Tollison. Walker Lott and Ryan Schroeder join me from College Station and Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, respectively. I'll get on top of this off rip. Yes, I am wearing sunglasses inside. One of my best friends got married this past weekend. You can come to your own conclusions regarding how A went to B, but Walker Lott, fantastic week in private school football. I wish I could have followed it more closely, but I've been catching up today. Excited to recap what's going on. Your thoughts on the previous week's endeavors?
No, it was a good week. Went down to Houston, had some great food. Shout out to John Cooper, and had a good weekend, but looks like not as good of a weekend as you.
Relax. Ryan Schroeder, a lot of really cool action in private school ball going on. You, I think, and I'll say this now, I think you pulled off an undefeated week in the pick record. No, you was it one game?
Southwest Christian, baby.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. I really want to just thank the fact that so I got to go to my first game of the year this year with the Paris Legacy game. It was a lot of fun, just kind of being there on site and experiencing them for that their homecoming. Overall, just a great atmosphere in total. And yeah, it was fun getting to shoot and be there on site at least for the weekend. And then my Saturday consisted of me watching Oklahoma State lose to Kansas State. So, you know.
Ooh, Avery Johnson supremacy, baby.
No, seriously though, 18-1. I'm actually livid at the fact that Southwest Christian thinks that they can just like, you know, lose. Like I'm only gonna pick them through Walker Lott. So if they think they're gonna lose just to break my 19-0, I mean that's insane. I almost went 19-0. But of course, SCS, you know, I'm never picking them the rest of the year. They're okay. Fort Worth school, number two that I hate. Now SCS. It goes Trinity Valley, then SCS. They're both on the slate now.
Understandable.
So I'm trying to think if I can remember the 2 points I wanted to bring up. The first was, allegedly, you're the only person on the podcast that has ever completed a perfect week. I think you apparently did back in 2021, which I still don't think ever happened, but
no,
I need to see
for sure.
I need to see physical proof of that manifest. And number two, who did SCS lose to?
Who do you think? You don't like this? You kind of have a crapped on this school this year so far too. Colleyville Covenant.
I have not. When did I say anything bad about Covenant?
I don't know, man. Check the tape.
I did pick SCS in that game. I'm disappointed I got let down, but picking Kincaid always seems to work out for me. But we'll get more into that in a second. Walker Lott, are you whipping up the current standings?
Yes, I am. And okay. Bad. This is bad writing, but I think you can see this. 75-20, and you two are tied at 73-22.
I'll take it. I got a puncher's chance. After coming back from being down like six games, and then Ryan picking up a nice little two game stretch. I think it's gonna shape up to be a competitive pick record as it typically is at this time in the season, but. That being said, we will move in to our second segment of the episode, the TXPS Media Football Scoreboard Review. I'll say it again, because I say this almost every week and people don't seem to quite understand it. We cannot fit every single score on this scoreboard. It is the games that we know about, and more importantly, the games that we can get on the scoreboard at about 11 o'clock at night, because not everyone makes their scores super accessible. So don't come at us in the comments saying, where's Team A? Where's Team B? We're getting everything on here as fast as we can. But that being said, we will start reviewing the scoreboard, barring the five games in the left-hand column at the top, because we will go more detailed into those. I will go, and then Walker will go, and then Ryan will go. I will start. Argyle Liberty beats TCA Addison 56-0. What else do you expect? Business as usual for Liberty.
Do you mind if I go? I'm going to take this one, actually. So yeah, Parrish defeats Legacy 56-27. Started out close, but then Parrish just got the Parrish way. Sawyer Anderson linking up with Jalen Pyle. Defensive wise, looking very strong. Parrish overall, good first district win for them.
Concordia Lutheran beat San Antonio TMI 51-8. Tanner Huckfeld and company look really sharp headed into district. Massive implications keep the week after week to see if they're going to be a top team in TAPS T1 this year.
Houston St. Thomas eliminates St. Pius 48-0. It really seems like the Eagles are stepping it up as we get into district play. Looks like it'll be between them and Antonian for the D1 South.
Fort Worth Christian defeats Victoria St. Joseph 40-7 in a game that now puts Fort Worth Christian at 4-1 after their only loss of the year coming to Second Baptist. Three games back to back where they've held their opponent to only 7 points or less. Kind of speaks to what they're going to look like this year in district, hopefully, after that bounce back after SBS.
Yeah. Speaking of SES, instead, Southwest Christian loses to Covenant Christian 21-14. Crazy, crazy loss for SES after beating a Division One team. They lose to a Division Three team. This team is such a wild card week in after week, but big win for Covenant Christian.
Following an 0-3 start to the season, Grace Prep beats Dallas Bishop Dunn 24-0. A good win for Grace Prep after losing to some teams like Nolan Covenant and Legacy Christian Academy. Schedule's not really going to get easier. That D2 district of Austin, Tyler, Dallas isn't super hard, but it's going to be an uphill battle for Grace Prep. But a good win here.
Looks like Austin Regents gets it done against Brookhill in their first start of their district slate as well. 42-21 was the final. Jack Devine and company get it done with touchdowns to guys other than Blake Smith, as well as some rushing touchdowns for Jack Devine. Like we've said, only. Oh, sorry.
I was going to say that game apparently was 21-21 into the third quarter. So
Interesting.
what I'm
Interesting.
hearing from my contact, shout out Luke Wilson, in that division is that, or in that district specifically, is that the bus fatigue is a real thing. Like it's not like, and they had to go to Brookhill to play that game. So apparently, I think they did. Yeah, but apparently it's a
Yeah,
real thing.
interesting. No, and that's how it's gonna that whole district's gonna be. And like we've said, Grace is really the probably one of the only threats in that district to Regents, if at all, even a threat. But yeah, Regents gets it done in their first game against Brookhill. First district game, sorry.
Am I taking the Grace Community game now? Is
Yeah,
that
you
what
can
we're
take it, Walter.
Yeah, cool. Grace Community barely beats Austin Brentwood 42-35. Supposedly this game was down to the wire where it was they just couldn't convert in the last couple minutes of the game for Brentwood. Question marks around Grace Community, a team that Brentwood was not great last year, but competes with them this year. There are a lot of question marks around Grace Community and a lot of question marks about probably 2 through 5 in that district, how that will pay out the rest of the year.
Completely agree. San Antonio Holy Cross destroys New Braunfels Christian Academy 48-0. Not surprising, not even really indicative that NBCA is a really terrible football team because they're not. It's just Holy Cross is doing this to everyone, including Division One teams between Gibby Alvarado, Nick Hall, and literally everyone else on that team. It's shaping up to be a special year in San Antonio.
Another 48-0 final. First Baptist now gets to go 5-0, while Mercy Culture Prep drops to 0-5. In the first district battle of the year, First Baptist gets their win, and it doesn't look like they'll see a loss in district. We had a conversation actually, with kind of with Jacob, one of our student analysts, just talking between the Holy Cross and First Baptist dynamic that's going to come October 18th. Basically, just discussing how do you see that game for both these squads when it's in the middle of your district slate. We'll be interested to see how each of these teams takes that game, especially since it falls right in the middle. But I just thought that was pretty ironic since both these teams fall back to back with a 48-0 win in both games.
Yeah, and speaking of lower division teams, Wake Hill Live Oak, first game in district in 11-man football,
Heck
wins
yeah.
48-7. This is a
Heck
team
yeah.
that, with Bishop Riker going down, looks like they're going to be the top team in Waco this year. Definitely going to have to keep a close eye on them as the weeks go on.
Central Texas Christian out of Temple gets by Magnolia Legacy Prep 28-14 to start the season 4-0. One of those wins being over Brentwood. Central Texas is a lot better than I thought. Again, I'll poke fun at Walker again, and I thought the entire team was Tabor Tyson, and
It
apparently
was.
it's not because they're doing really, really well. That is a because I forget, are they still? Yeah, they're still Division Four. We might be discounting them as a team to watch in D4. It could not just be First Baptist and Brazos Christian, but it might be First Brazos and Central Texas. Will be interesting. Need to watch further.
I agree. It's kind of where I'm at as well. But here, Green Hill beats Cistercian 42-7 in the opening slate of SBC 3A for Green Hill Cistercian. I think all that you can take from this is that, Cistercian's had a couple losses like that this year. I don't like reading that too much into that for Green Hill's sake, when the other teams in SBC 3A are so highly touted. We'll have to measure them more when they play teams like CVS and Houston Christian, but a good win nonetheless for Green Hill.
Yeah,
Which
and
by the which by the way is neighbors to Parish Episcopal. Did not know that. I said that 5 times, but they're literally right next to each other. Never knew that, but
interesting. The more you know. Anyways, going on to another big matchup, Prestonwood destroys Nolan Catholic 70-14. The days of easy non-district games for Nolan Catholic is no more. They're going into district, and it is looking like it's going to be a rough time. Prestonwood making their presence known as being one of the top teams at D1 and one to watch out for.
Bishop Gorman falls to Sacred Heart of Munster, 57-35. Good win for I think the now completely Sporzinski-less Sacred Heart. To see Bishop Gorman put up 35 points in a football game makes me happy. It's about all the analysis that I have here, but an interesting game in D4. Munster Sacred Heart edges Bishop Gorman.
Central Catholic defeats St. Dominic Savio 52-0. After starting the year 2-0 against two public school teams, Central Catholic falls to Holy Cross and then defeats Savio 52-0 in their first district game. Back-to-back games against St. Thomas and Concordia are going to prove hard for them, but a start to the district slate with a 52-point shutout is truly in their favor. Overall, just a good win for them. But yeah, the slate only gets tougher.
No, yeah, absolutely. Talking about another Division III matchup, Bernie Geneva beats Schertz. I believe that, no, that is New Braunfels John Paul II. Or is it, no,
It's
Schertz.
supposed
It's
to
the
be
same
shirts.
thing. Yeah, it's the same thing. No, it's basically the same place. Schertz John Paul loses to Bernie Geneva 48-8. This is without that quarterback of the past couple of years for Bernie Geneva. Interesting to see how they respond, and in a district with Holy Cross, how do they act? Always going to be interesting to see.
Midland Christian falls to Friendship by 1 point, 35-34. Honestly, a really impressive showing from the Mustangs, a 6A, currently 4-1 team in Friendship. I'll take this back. I made a comment about, and I think I took some flack for that. I don't care about a lot of these teams beating up on West Texas teams that I've never heard of before. This isn't the case here. I mean, Friendship is a 6A school, not some like little 2A school in the middle of nowhere. I think that it's a good showing for Midland. We still don't exactly know how good Midland is on the season. We want to see them in some private on private school matchups to get a gauge, but it's a great showing. I know they would like, there's not really any moral victories in Midland, Texas. They would have liked to come out with the win, but in our eyes, it's a good showing. But
this is Waverly West with Texas Private School Media. This week for Minute with the Interns, I'm going to be recapping the Regents versus Brook Hill game. So in this game, Regents traveled up to Brook Hill to take on their first district game for both TAPS Division II teams. And once again, Regents was leading this whole game, except for a tiny stint in the third quarter where Brook Hill tied them at 21-all. But then Regents put up 21 unanswered points as they ended up winning the game 42-21. This was an absolutely incredible game for Regents sophomore quarterback Jack Devine, who threw for 224 yards and had an 80% completion rate and 3 touchdowns. Next week, Brook Hill takes on Grace Community at their place, which is always a heated rivalry game in TAPS Division II, while Regents gets to take on Bishop Dunn at home. That's all for now, and thanks for listening.
On Friday night, the Grace Community Cougars traveled from Tyler to Austin to face the Brentwood Christian Bears in each team's first district matchup of the season. Going into the game, each team was 3-1. The teams exchanged touchdowns early in the first quarter, making the score 7-7. After the Bears' first touchdown, Grace Community returned the kickoff for another 6 and the extra point. At halftime, the score was 28-21 in favor of the Cougars. Each team would score 2 more touchdowns in the second half, making the final score 42-35, with the Cougars being victorious. Grace Community is now 4-1, and Brentwood Christian is 3-2 halfway through the season.
Hi everyone, my name is Jacob Bermudez and I will be recapping Holy Cross's shutout win versus New Braunfels Christian Academy. On Friday night, the New Braunfels Christian Academy Wildcats welcomed the Holy Cross Knights into their new stadium for a classic district matchup. The stakes were as high as could be with two undefeated teams meeting for their district opener and both teams looking to set the tone with a statement. The Holy Cross Knights would set the tone first when Class of 25 Isaiah Rice took off on an explosive run all the way down to the 2-yard line and then finished it off taking in the rushing touchdown on his own. The Knights defense would give a quick stop, and after a fumbled snap from Givi Alvarado that would set up the Knights at the 2-yard at the 1-yard line, Class of 27 AJ Agua would take in back-to-back rushing touchdowns thanks to the Knights defense. After just the first quarter, the Knights found themselves up 22-0. The second quarter saw action from Class of 25 Nick Hall and Class of 25 Daniel Pettis, who both brought in touchdowns to take the Knights into halftime. At halftime, the Knights were up 42-0, and time was clicking for New Braunfels Christian Academy to do something quick. Unfortunately for them, due to Taps rule, the second half saw a running clock for the entire half, so it made things increasingly difficult for the team to get anything going. The third quarter saw no action at all, as it was a quick quarter, but it would be in the fourth quarter that Gabe Alvarado would once again find one of his guys in the corner of the end zone, Class 25 Isaiah Rice, and capped off the night, giving the Knights a 48-0 win. Cross now stands at a dominant 5-0 and 1-0 in their district, and despite the injuries and illnesses that this team was facing, they did in fact step up to the challenge and beat it. They will now come back home next week to host Bernie Geneva in another district matchup. As for New Braunfels Christian Academy, they stand now at 4-1 and 0-1 in their district and will regroup and prepare to host Hill Country Christian Academy, Austin, next week in their second edition game of the year.
That being said, that'll wrap up the TXPS Media scoreboard powered by Ryan Schroeder. And we will get into recapping our five games of week five, starting with St. Michael's Prep at Antonian. Antonian gets their much needed win to start district play, besting the previously undefeated Warriors 35-16. From the limited stats available, it looked like Mikey Moreno really stepped up for the Apaches with 34 carries for 212 yards, averaging 6 yards, and coming away with 2 touchdowns. He has been the bell cow since the departure of Strode and Toscano. My question coming out of this game is that in a very weak Division I South, is Antonian the favorite to take this district? Now, keep in mind, there were 3 touchdowns called back for St. Mike's. They really shot themselves in the foot. So it's not that Antonian just came out and dog-walked them. It seems like if St. Mike's would have really played more disciplined football, it could have been a different game. But, Walker, it seems like it's going to be Antonian and St. Thomas at the top of the D1 South. Is there anyone you're leaning towards more at this point in the season? Because both have their strengths and their flaws.
I think also Concordia's in that mix. I think it's a 3-way race for the top. And for how a team looks at from the start to the finish, it looks like Concordia might be that top spot. But all of them have their strengths. You know, St. Thomas is finally getting healthy. They weren't the healthy and lost a lot of offensive linemen at the start of the year. So, you know, they're finally coming into the groove. Their running back's back to being healthy. Antonian is kind of putting together. St. Michael's is a tough team. They've showed it the past couple weeks. So this is a big win for them. But I really need to see the games to happen to really, you know, go one way or another. But for St. Mike's, I want to say, like, there's never a good loss, but there's a good lessons you can take from a loss. And I think these are a lot of good lessons for St. Mike's to show that they can compete in this district, man. For a team that was in D2 and struggled last year, D2, they look like a team that can compete in TAPS D1 this year, which is good to see.
Definitely so. Ryan Schroeder, your thoughts on Antonian edging out St. Michael's?
Yeah, I think the big thing, you know, when you talk about the D1 South of where you think it stands at the moment, obviously this is the first district game, so you can't read too much into it. But teams like Concordia, although they do start 4-0, they start 4-0 against teams that are, you know, not the most appealing to me when it comes to, you know, strength of schedule. While a team like St. Thomas has played a slate of St. John's, Lake Creek, Kincaid, and then St. Pius. Like, so it really feels like certain teams are testing themselves more than others. But the records show differently for those same cases. And obviously, even injury-wise for St. Thomas, that's where they stood. To answer your question on this part, I definitely think Antonian's in the mix, but I do agree with y'all that St. Thomas and Concordia are also right there. But also Central Catholic could make a name for themselves. You know, Their only loss coming to a tough Holy Cross team at the moment should prove that they are still a very valuable option in themselves. Overall, with this game, Mikey Moreno will really have to take over for the rest of the district slate. Like we keep saying, this team is a lot different than last year, and it seems like they're finally coming to groove, especially with how much size we've talked about that they had and how it's just finally becoming the product that it's supposed to be.
Absolutely. The D1 South always kind of seems to be the ugly stepchild relative to the North, but there's always interesting storylines that run throughout it each season. And that kind of three-way race between Concordia, Antonian, and St. Thomas. I don't know if there's a clear favorite, like y'all were saying. I think it will be very interesting to watch. Let us move on down to some TAPS versus SPC action at Lutheran South at St. John's. Walker's pregame analysis rings true as Cole Allen has 291 all-purpose yards and six touchdowns, one of which being through the air, as the Mavs stop the Robinson-less Lutheran South Pioneers 62-35. Listen, this thing was never close. It was 42-7 at halftime, and honestly, it looked like no one was even worthy on sharing the field with Cole Allen. I don't know if you can find me a more electric playmaker in the state of Texas. St. John's is really starting to catch fire as they head towards their opener with John Cooper, which, listen, I don't think that John Cooper's going to beat St. John's, but Walker, I mean, we'll come to that game in a couple games here, but are you, first of all, you can give your thoughts on this game specifically, but I'm curious to how you would think after seeing John Cooper, how they would match up with St. John's this coming week.
I do think St. John's is the superior team in that matchup, but after watching John Cooper, they got some dudes over there and Colson Collins and company. Like they're a solid squad. I could definitely see a type of thing where John Cooper holds and is in a battle for most teams going into halftime, and maybe just because they're younger and they have a lesser amount of kids. They kind of struggle in the second halves of games, but. And I kind of think that's what it's going to be like in district for them. But St. John's, I had some people text me this weekend that St. John's might be the number one team in SBC 4A to them. And I mean, with Cole Allen, and they haven't really skipped a beat from Stephen Gilt, to Shea Quinn, and they have some other dudes around them that are making plays, Yaha Mir and others. You never know about the St. John's team. That's, LSA is not a top team in TAPS this year, but they're probably a top 10 team in TAPS D2. And so it's still a tough game for them, but
Higher than that, in my opinion. I think higher than that. In D2, LSA, they beat Houston Christian first week. They have a win over
yeah,
Cooper. I mean,
I forgot about that.
35 points on St. John's at
Would you
St.
okay?
John's.
I
I
would
mean,
say All Saints, Second Baptist. Regents, Midland, Fourth Christian.
LSA is in between 5 and 10. You can't tell me differently. They're in there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right
Sure.
there. So, anyways, but yeah, that's a good win for St. John's going into district and going into that just ooh, the games that are coming up for St. John's with Kincaid, Bel Air, ESD. Ooh wee, man, those are gonna be some bloodbaths, Ryan.
I just want to say, the people that think St. John's is the best team in SBC 4A have a very valuable argument. But like I said, after watching the Second Baptist game, is that truly if you rely on one player, eventually it comes to a halt. Because in the Second Baptist game, the reason why they lost that game is because they only were, scoring through Cole Allen type plays. They were only getting yards through Cole Allen Wildcats. It really only felt like it was Cole Allen on the offensive side of the ball, especially toward the end of that game when I was tuning in. But you also flip the script. I mean, they'll see Kincaid in the last game of the year, and Kincaid has only proven to me that they are the strongest team in SBC 4A. Obviously, we'll see how they fare in the other four district games before Kincaid on the St. John's side. But truly, at the moment, I still have Kincaid. And I do want to stick up for Lutheran South because putting 35 points on a team like St. John's at St. John's Place is impressive. And I do think LSA should ride, maybe potentially. This might be a hot take. They might ride for the second place spot in that district behind Second Baptist. It'll be Second Baptist, then them, and then probably Cypress Woodlands, something like that. And that Woodlands or Cypress. So I don't know.
I wanted to talk about something, and this doesn't really involve LSA or St. John's, but I really want to quickly say, that Fort Bend game against Tomball Christian Homeschool, where Tomball Christian Homeschool won. Oh wow.
That's a bad loss. That's a bad
For a
loss.
team that we thought Fort Bend would be second place in that district beforehand, they might turn out to be last place. They don't look like they have it together at all. They don't look like their offense can compete in really any games. They have dudes. We know they have dudes, but with the talent they have, they're not putting it together. It's very interesting. You gotta see it. And Tomball Christian Homeschool, we watched them. We saw them in the spring. I went and saw their team in practice. They have some dudes over there. They really do. Trevor Parker and others that really competed well. I mean, the Wilkins linebackers brothers, man, they have some dudes. So, you can, but it's not that Tomball Christian Homeschool is a bad team. It's the stigma that you lost to a homeschool team. You as Fort Bend Christian, you cannot do that, right? And you know, it's just so interesting, and it's gonna be interesting to see how they respond in district, but. Man, there's not a team with a lower stock going into district though, probably than Fort Bend Christian, which is crazy to say.
I would love to know how all these freelance teams work out. I don't know if the Tomball's TAPS affiliated, but now just kind of understanding the idea between Cornerstone and Tomball and Lacey School of Sports Sciences and even the liberal arts school that
So,
Fort Bend just put 70 points on before that. It's hard for me to comprehend what all this even means.
yeah, I know Tomball Christian plays. They play like their own homeschool like district and slate that they play a state championship in like or na national championship in like Florida, I think.
I mean,
So it's a little
they have a non-district game against Brook Hill in October, late
yeah,
October. Like, I mean,
it's a
they
very
very well
interesting
might
thing.
be
But
Brook Hill.
yeah, shout out to Coach Alderson because those dudes over there, man, they get after it and they have some dudes over there that
I
I
mean,
was impressed.
they beat bowling. I mean, that's Sprinter Man bowling, right?
Think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're gonna go see Houston Christian here in a couple weeks too, which is
That
also
will be
interesting.
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
I would watch if that Tomball Christian Homeschool is a team that you do not want to schedule on your homecoming just to think
Pre-COVID.
that because you think you're going to win and then you're going to end up
Yeah.
losing to them. I
Yeah.
just want to give them their flowers because they've been having a good year this year and they're supporters of the pod. So shout out to them. But
Sounds like it.
man, rough times for Fort Bend. Anyways, I guess the next game, Wes, go into it, man.
Second Baptist at Kincaid. The usual suspects emerge for Kincaid as the Falcons defense stifle Second Baptist, coming away with a 21-7 victory. It sounds like the most Kincaid game I've ever heard. You go up against one of the more talented teams in the state, run the ball 40 dadgum times, dare them to score themselves. I mean, we've seen it time and time again, and it's why I rarely short the Falcons in these situations. Wayne Shanks did Wayne Shanks things. 35 carries for 173 yards and 2 touchdowns. Capobianco goes an efficient 17 for 24, 181 and a touchdown, as Jordan Manuel continues to boost his stock, reeling in 11 grabs for 186 yards and a tutter. Junior Henry McFall was very impressive defensively. Cash Harris and Bryce Butler appeared to have elite games for Second Baptist. I've got a shout out Andrea for the coverage. Half of what I learned was just going back through her tweets and getting kind of a sense of the vibe of the game. And yeah, it's kind of how grateful we are for our interns for its games that we can't be at. I wouldn't have known half of that stuff I just said. So shout out to the people affiliated with the program that work super hard. But yeah, I was a little nervous going into this game because it was kind of unstoppable force meets immovable object in the sense that I have said I wouldn't bet against either of these teams ever again. So I kind of had to go against my word somewhere, and I picked right. And Kincaid is always kind of be gonna be the stronger force in that equation just because I've gotten burned badly. But that being said, Wayne Shanks is the truth. I'm very impressed with how good Jordan Manuel has looked, and I also really liked McFall and the way that he played. Walker Lott, Kincaid, we just spoke at length about how good one SBC 4A team looks. What do you think about the other in the spot?
No, yeah. This is a big win for Kincaid and kind of cementing themselves as, like, at least for now, probably the top team in Houston this year, right? They are the top
Absolutely.
dogs in Houston right now. They haven't played the Concordias or some of the other SBC teams that they're going to play in district, but for now, you kind of have to think they are the top dogs. But I want to give a little shout out to Jordan Emmanuel because he in an offense in the past couple years, right, with Michael Bell there and then Miles Rader last year, it was a run dominant team. And they are still here this year with Wayne Shanks, of course, but like I forget, it's kind of the type of thing where when you're like, this is not the same example, but like when you run the wing T and the wide receivers just don't get any of the love, right? But they have good dudes. And you're like, well, why would you throw it to him? Because they're running the ball really well. And that's kind of how he's been. But like in the state game last year, he did really good. And in this season, man, he's shown out for Kincaid. And we have him as one of the top receivers in TXPS. But I don't think he's put up the stats the past couple years to show it, but he truly is one of the top receivers in TXPS. And week in and week out this season, he's shown that. And I just want to shout out to him because there were some big time plays he made in this one where they needed him to show out, and he did. So I want to just give the flowers to him. And I'm so excited to come watch Wayne Shanks in a couple weeks. I'm trying to plan my time to see them and St. John's and other teams because, dude, this Kincaid team is really good. And I think also, our guy Jack Klosick really raves about the Kincaid defense. And keeping a offense like Second Baptist to only 7 points shows how legit this defense is. So shout out to them. Big win for them. And I think Second Baptist is going to bounce back. This is a two Titans in Houston fighting it out in this one, and one came out on top. But I don't think Second Baptist is going anywhere.
Definitely not. Ryan Schroeder, Second Baptist, and Kincaid. Your thoughts on Kincaid taking the victory?
Yeah, Kincaid and Second Baptist both did great this year at booking non-district schedules that I think will prepare them for their districts, especially Second Baptist, making sure they got all those SBC 4A teams in there, while Kincaid, booking teams, whether it be public school teams, hard regions teams, St. Thomas teams that you thought would be better than what you think and stuff, and then also Second Baptist right before district play. And Kincaid looks incredible. I mean, I don't know how to tell you this, but they beat Regents, they beat St. Thomas, they beat Rockport Fulton, they beat Second Baptist. They had a narrow loss to one of the best teams in Texas high school football history with Gunner. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is truly, it's truly an impressive stretch that they've had so far. And Kincaid's definitely my SBC 4A runner as the number one, like I just mentioned. But yeah, man, I think this team is something special. They seem to have every facet of the game rolling in the right direction for them. And yeah, to think that they won't continue it through district would be you'd be wrong because it's gonna keep happening. And I'm excited to see how the EHS game goes, how the ESD game goes. And then, of course, that November 1st game against St. John's will be the true test of who goes to the SBC state championships.
It certainly will be. I'm excited to see how all that shakes out because, as we know, SBC 4A is one of the more chaotic, if not the most chaotic division we cover. I wouldn't have it any other way. Walker, you were down in the Woodlands, the beautiful, beautiful Woodlands, to watch a game that you picked correctly, and I received some faulty information regarding. I'll be filing an appeal on the pick record there. Your thoughts on Cypress Christian and John Cooper?
No, yeah, the Woodlands is beautiful, man. And if I had the money to live there, I absolutely would, but I do not. But no, they came in both these teams kind of being banged up the past couple weeks, especially Cypress Christian, where we've heard like, man, they have hit the injury bug massively. And they wanted to just be sure, especially for this not being a not being this being a non-district game. They sat out John Kelly and Maximus Supley. It was game time decisions for both of them. And yeah, they just decided not to play him this time. And of course, when you have John Kelly not on the field for Cypress, that hurts them. Absolutely. And John Cooper took advantage of that and won massively. I think it was 39-7 final. Big, big win. There's not really much to talk about for the Cypress side. Because it didn't really show out. They scored 7 points in the last 4 minutes of the game, you know what I mean? So it wasn't anything special. Let's talk about the John Cooper side of things, where you lose Santiago Fernandez loses, and your quarterback who started last year, but he got banged up a little bit. He leaves, and you're like, okay, what's next? And Colson Collins, man, for a guy that we didn't know much about going into this year, he's looked great, and he is a gamer. That's the best way I can describe him. He extends plays with his legs when needed. He rolls out, does spins out. If he sees pressure, he finds where he can throw the ball, and he has weapons all around him. Jake Sneed, who we've heard a lot about, colleges have raved about him very young and have taken an interest in him already. He was 6 of 6 for 72 yards. Made every throw that was to him, he caught. And that was what's most impressive about him is he just catches everything that comes to him. He has the size already and looks the part at such a young age as a sophomore. So the only thing he can do is get better. And I'm excited for him to keep going and keep getting to the better to where I could see him because he has the size and the athleticism to do it. He could be a top 250 prospect in the country by it's all said and done. He can be a true four-star kid when it's all said and done. So that's great to hear. Then you have Colson Collins, who I just talked about. Eric Sipko is a guy that I wanted to recognize. He made some really good plays for them. I think a touchdown and a couple other plays for them. He was one of their weapons that we need to watch going forward. And Dean Calhoun, who, man, it feels like he's been in TSPS forever, but it's because he was dominating at such a high level from such a young age. Last time I remember when he truly dominated was when he was a what sophomore, Wes, when he went in one state for them. He's been dominating since he was young, and he continues to do that now. He is truly electric when he steps on the field. Pure highlight reel. Man, he makes everybody miss. Cypress must have been so angry at him because he'll just left, right, left, right. You don't know where whenever he's going, and then he'll run over you too. Like even at his stature, like he'll run over you. And there was a play that we put on our story where he makes a dude miss, sees that he's about to go out of bounds, and just hits into the guy's shoulder and runs guys 5 yards forward and gets inside the five. Like he's a great weapon. And I know I said it on one of my tweets. If yes, they moved up to SBC 4A, it's gonna be hard for them to beat a team like Belair or Kincaid or St. John's, right? But I think with him and other weapons they have, they truly have chances in games. It's the question if they can sustain it and win a lot of other games later in the years. But overall, I think John Cooper is really good. They have some young talent that I don't remember their names, but we're gonna do headshots about them on our Twitter in a little bit. They have some dudes all around this team, man. And especially in SBC 4A, they need those type of dudes. So shout out to John Cooper. Great environment, great food. Thank you for the hat. It always a great time. And so thank you so much, John Cooper, for the hospitality. And I on the other side, Cypress will be just fine. They'll compete in D2, and they might be not in the top three in D2, but they'll compete. So overall, solid game and a game that everyone was just like, let's just get out of this game healthy. And I think that's what both teams did.
Well, my pick was made. There were two kind of premises here. One was my fault and the other wasn't. The one that wasn't my fault was I think I was led to believe that John Kelly was going to play, which would have significantly altered my pick because John Kelly is that team completely. And then I'm gonna be honest with you. I forgot Dean Calhoun was still at John Cooper. That was completely on me. But you live and you learn. There's a lot of people to keep track of. Let us move on into the last game we're going to recap, which is Houston Christian at Arlington Oak Ridge. As expected, Houston Christian eliminates Oak Ridge 35-0 to render the Mustangs 2-0, moving into likely the first of two meetings with Fort Worth Trinity Valley. Senior defensive end Joseph Trickett's a monster. I mean, that dude just makes plays. I now know the quarterback is sophomore RJ Evans, who looks very, very good. The dude throws a very pretty ball, and I think he could end up being one of the better guys in 27. He's just kind of he's a little jitterbug right now. From what I can tell on from Max Preps, I think it says he's like 5'9". He's probably a little taller than that, but he's kind of shorter, skinny, but he throws a really good ball. I assume he'll grow into his own and look really good at some point, but for now, very good for the Mustangs. And then with guys like Joshua Sestero on this front seven, just seems like they crash out super hard. Like it's kind of like the A&M defense that I saw clips of against Arkansas, where it's like people just like helicoptering into people with no regard for human safety. It's awesome defense to watch. I think Houston Christian's offense will be good this year. Their strength is going to have to come from their defense, especially when you have a younger guy at quarterback. Not saying that, he's not capable of leading it, but they're going to have to really lean on their defense. And especially, we knew Oak Ridge wasn't going to be at the top of 3A. The 4-0 stuff was a good story. And this isn't me, belittling them. They're a great team. It's just Houston Christian had to win this game and had to win it big if we wanted to see them kind of solidify that title slot along with TBS. They do. Walker, I'm assuming it'll be the first of two meetings with TBS next week. Do you share that opinion?
I think so. I think you're right there. Oak Ridge was the team to be like, okay, could they? And they could not. And that's okay, right? They're headed in the right direction, which is good for that program, but they're just not there yet. And that's okay. But I do agree with you there. I think it's going to be one the first of two meetings between these two teams next week.
Definitely so. Ryan Schroeder, big SBC 3A matchup to start district. Your thoughts on Houston Christian besting Oak Ridge?
Yeah, I'm obviously sad Oak Ridge sees their first loss of the year, but not surprised. It's something that I knew was eventually going to come. But it's nice to know that Houston Christian, obviously, you see the LSA in the St. John's matchups, and you're like, oh, Houston Christian's not really that. But it's like, no, it's LSA and it's St. John's. Like as soon as Houston Christian actually starts playing teams to their level in SBC 3A, like they're going to dominate. Obviously, this week is a huge matchup against TVS. But overall, Houston Christian's back on track. Back-to-back games, only letting up 6 points between both games, looking very impressive for them. I'm gonna be 100% honest with you. Definitely thought Oak Ridge was had a shot to. I don't know. I just was kind of rooting for them because, so many years I've seen where Oak Ridge could never get over the hump and stuff. And who knows? They could still finish top half of the SBC this year. But yeah, definitely looking like next week will be the potential what we see also in November when it comes to the SBC 3A state championship.
If the past is any predictor of future events, then that will be correct. It'll be fun to see. I think both those teams are super talented. Maybe they'll do it like last year and they'll split the regular season and the SBC championship. That would be fun to watch, but we can only speculate until that contest occurs. And with that game being recapped, that is actually all of the material we have to go over for today. A really fun week. Yet again, I'm sad that I couldn't go to a game. However, I'd be lying if I said I'd rather cover a game than go to one of my middle and high school best friend's wedding. Congratulations to Bryce and Anna, now Kaysen. But yeah, no, it's we're really starting to hit the meat grinder of district play, and we're gonna start to see which teams really rise to the top out of this. It'll be fun. We've got a ton of fun matchups on hand that we will get sorted and cover on the episode dropping in your feed Thursday evening. But barring any additional comments from the Peanut Gallery, as always, I've been one third of your hosting crew, Wes Tolleson. Walker Lott and Ryan Schroeder have fantastically been themselves. We will see you on Thursday in the preview episode. See you later.